From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. In the midst of bad revenue profits and job losses in the technology sector, leading private equity firm Convergence Partners defied gravity by raising $296 million for digital infrastructure across Africa. It's their third fund drive, having raised a total of $600 million together with two previous funds. In this episode of iAfrican Bites, we understand how Convergence Partners managed to raise this despite the current recession in the technology sector. I'm joined by Andile Ngcaba, Executive Chairman and Founding Partner of Convergence Partners.
Southern African Bites.
Mr. Ngcaba, thank you so much for joining us. Now, Mr. Ngcaba, please educate us on this, right? Convergence Partners has raised funds before, you know, through the first round, second round, and this being the third round. Now, in combined, how much has Convergence Partners raised in the three rounds combined?
Just probably over $600, $600
million. $600
million. Just over that, yes.
Amazing, amazing. And I mean, how's been the journey thus far?
Look, I mean, as you know, we are a Pan-African based private equity fund that focuses in tech and TMT, if you want, or ICT or digital infrastructure. People use multiple terms in these things, but to a certain extent, either they mean the same or they overlap. Really, you know, for us, I mean, you know, Africa is a continent that has a digital divide coming from historical reasons, as you know. Now, our mission really is to bridge that digital divide, but also as an impact investor. I mean, these things are well defined in SDGs as to what we need to do as society, as businesses, government, etc. So we have deep expertise in technology and investments, and we understand the African continent, east, west, southern, you know, north. And we've been in this mission to make sure that we can connect the continent, basically through submarine optic fiber, land-based fiber, satellites, data centers, software, AI, and a whole range of things. Now, here's the thing. I mean, you probably might have seen the report that came out of World Telecommunications Development Conference that was held in Kigali last June of 2022, whereby it said we have 1.9 billion people in this planet, of 8 billion are not connected on the internet. And unfortunately, Africa has the majority of those people, right? Mm-hmm. And we need, as an industry, between now and 2030, about $428 billion to solve the digital divide that we have as society. Now, Africa, this is something, a committee that I was part of, as part of the ITU, Africa needs about $100 billion between now and 2030 to connect the unconnected, right? So for us, I mean, we have been in this journey contributing, building optic fiber and data centers in the African continent. And we are continuing with that. And we are very confident that as we get closer to 2030, when we do measurement of the SDGs that involve us, we will be comfortable that, you know, a long way would have been covered. So thanks to the team at Convergence, thanks to our LPs who have been with us in the previous fund and this one and those new, for really seeing this vision and mission of connecting the African continent. Everybody, remember, Africa has, the majority of people in Africa are below 30, basically.
True.
The 1.3 billion people that are there. And this number will continue to grow, right? And these people need connectivity, whether they're at university or school, or new type of jobs, whether you are in Nairobi, you have a job in, you know, working for a company in UK, you need to be connected in some form of broadband, or whether you're in Johannesburg, whether you are in Lagos, whether you are in Lusaka. This is how things work today. So we as Convergence Partners, you know, as an impact investor, we are in that journey to wire and connect the continent and provide the applications, whether it's fintech, agritech, health tech, that sit on top of that broadband infrastructure. That's what we do. That's what we invest in. And really, I must say that our investors are happy. I mean, because we basically, as an impact investor, we still take seriously the nature of returns that we must get back in the companies we invest in. The pipeline is good. And yeah, this is a great journey. And yeah, thank you to people like you and, you know, who really make us known by potential pipeline companies to really share the African story, which we live every day. And we will continue this journey going forward. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Ndarengaba. Ndarengaba, however, on the flip side of things, we see a lot of private equity firms holding on to dry powder. This is due to market uncertainty over high inflation, less consumer spending, soaring energy prices. Now, who are these investors that invested in this impressive third round?
Look, let me put it like this. You know, even in environments of COVID, I mean, let me give you an example. Take when the world was almost shutting down between 2020 and 2021.
That was a really dark time.
What was the most consumed product during that time? It was broadband. Most consumed product at the time when the world was in almost a very dark period that has never been experienced by any one of us in this planet. But the planet had to function, courts had to function, governments had to function, businesses had to function. How many people pivoted their companies, their organizations to online, to today? A number of companies, they allow their staff to work half of the week at home and half of the week in the office because of broadband. So what we are talking about here is this industry, because the 21st century is a digital century. It doesn't matter the industry you are in. You need that connectivity to function and be able. I mean, you know, I've got nephews and nieces who are at university.
Yes, sir.
Happened, some of them are in the Eastern Cape, deep rural areas. They phoned and said, we need connectivity in order for us to participate in lectures that are happening. Some of them were at UJ, some of them at VITS, some of them at UCT, right? And we had to make sure that they don't lose in them participating in academic work, basically. And it was not just about mobile connectivity. They needed something quite solid. So this happened everywhere in the world. What I'm saying is that, for coming back to the pipeline and dry powder question, what I'm trying to illustrate in this industry of ours, and in particular COVID or post-COVID, the demand for data centers, for broadband, for fiber, it's something we have never seen before in my 42 years of experience in this industry.
Mr. Ngaba, in those discussions, who are one of the first investors to really, you know, were excited in releasing some of this, you know, some of these resources to contribute to the fund, you know, with that uptake of excitement?
We have DFIs, basically DFIs from Europe, DFIs from North America, from Africa. We have commercial entities. We have invested in this fund, basically. So, I mean, the most of the DFIs that are quite active in Africa, basically, are part of this. And these are people who have been with us, I mean, for some time. So really, we have quite experienced investors who have joined this fund, basically, and we are excited about it. And some commercial institutions from Africa, from Europe, North America, who really have decided to basically. So the type of LPs or investors is DFIs, commercial entities, you know, who are part of this pension fund. So really, yeah, we have quite a good spread of, you know, well-known institutions in the world, basically.
Why do investors specifically continue to have so much faith in Convergence Partners, despite these economic times that we currently live in?
Because let me tell you, one, we are an impact investor. For us, that impact, we measure it. We can demonstrate it to you both as a stakeholder and to our investors, right? Two, returns. We basically are very efficient in the way we manage capital, in the way we deploy capital, right? That's number two. One, impact. Two, very much efficient in the way we manage capital. Three, we are very innovative from a technology point of view, right? And then four, basically, because we address problems of the African continent, right? So you get good returns, you can see impact. We really make sure that the net zero targets that we work with our enterprises to make sure that by 2030, 2035 are reached. These are things that we don't theorize, but we do. And we have measuring tools to address social, environmental, and all aspects, you know, that cover true impact, right? As I've said, you know, returns. I mean, we invest and we make sure that, you know, IRRs that come out of these investments, you know, are above market average, okay? And then, as I've said, the deep knowledge of the industry that we have of tech, and lastly, the fact that we cover Pan-African environment. And in summary, we really are addressing by closing that digital divide that everybody says, we've been doing this thing for close to 20 years now. And we understand, people know us, you know, the market understands us. I mean, and therefore we provide tested business models in the way we work, in the way we assist our invested companies, because we have a solid team. We have a team across the continent. We understand the market very well. Why would you not put money at Convergence if you are an LP or an investor or a DFI or a commercial entity? I would do that too.
I think, you know, as iAfrican, we share the passion for Pan-African. So when it comes to Pan-African investment, definitely we share those same values. Now that Convergence has secured this $296 million, has Convergence already identified?
Yes. Pipeline is great. I mean, really. Remember, as we do this, the pipeline is there already. You know, we don't raise capital and then build the pipeline. We build the pipeline and then raise the capital and deploy the capital. So no. We are here. We are the treadmill. We are on it. We have been in it. I mean, from the previous fund, remember, this is not a start-stop environment. It's a very continuous process, you know. But as I've said, you know, we understand the market. You know, we understand the players. We look at companies, some of them when they are VC. We are not a VC, but we look at them when they are smaller. We see how they grow. We track them and monitor them. When they've reached a stage for a private equity investment, we already have built a relationship with them. We already know. We know the market. We know the people. So this is the advantage of us, because we are sector focused. We are not a generalist investor.
Can you share some of the company names and projects?
I'm sure you know that these things, people sign NDAs with us. I mean, when we announce, I mean, closing, you know, investing in these businesses, that's when you will get the names at the time. Okay. I'm sure you would know very well that people, I mean, you know, otherwise you would be going asking them questions. I mean, we still want the companies and people to run businesses while these processes are running. We don't want to distract them, you know, because because, you know, transaction processes can be complex. You have to go to regulators, you have to approach all authorities and countries. I mean, so these things require a little bit of money given regulations in countries, because, as you know, a number of these companies are basically licensed. So we have to respect, you know, country regulations, issues of privacy, whether it's POPIA in South Africa, whether it's GDPR, or some of the privacy regulations in the countries where we operate.
No, totally understand the due diligence that it never, but, you know, we'll always try and get the juice.
That's your responsibility, man.
Yeah. So, Ngaringa, you know, among the existing portfolio of companies already under Convergence Partners management, will some of the funds go to sort of recapitalize existing companies for growth, or maybe cushion?
Remember, funds have fund lives, right? There's a life in a fund, 10 plus 2 years, 10 years, depending what really you have. I mean, and, you know, so in private equity, when you actually, you know, invest in a company, you have to invest, you have to understand, you invest, you run that process, you have to grow the business. At some point, because this is tech, you have to exit. Also, tech then pivots and changes. So there are multiple ways to look at this thing. I mean, exits are always things that in private equity you have to keep in mind, you know, investments and reinvestments. So it depends. I mean, there's no cut and dry model that says that you do it like this or you don't do it like this. But you, the principle is that you have to return the capital back to investors at some point, right? And keep investing in other things. So that's what really, I mean, the crux of what private equity is, right? Is to grow companies. I mean, this is growth capital. Is to make sure that they grow. I mean, and at some point that investors will need returns. But there must be impact, basically, during that period. I mean, our whole period is pretty quite long. I mean, and therefore, you know, the period that we give most of our companies is quite a reasonable period for them to grow the business. You know, I mean, we are not in a hurry to exit or things such as those. But, you know, I mean, people, if companies are doing well and there are other people wanting maybe to buy, merge, or grow, or do whatever, always listen. You know, this is a market. And, you know, in a market, you have to be, you know, quite active and listen to other people, trade, sale, listing, private, all different forms of either exiting in multiple ways. But, you know, we are very open in the way in which we invest. I mean, critical to us is that, you know, is that asset making an impact in society?
It yes. Must.
Is that asset, you know, innovative, responding to technology changes, etc.? That's very important, right? Are they growing the business from a revenue EBITDA and, you know, or gross profit and all those good things? Is the value of the business increasing? Those are all aspects, right? Mm-hmm. And then there might be, there's a lot of activities happening in the market. I mean, there are mergers, there are acquisitions. So you have to be quite open and dynamic in this game, you know, and not have a single view. And therefore, you know, we are quite a very open investor in the continent, very dynamic. We work with a number of partners and people, basically.
Ngaringa, can you share maybe one or two companies that are really performing well? I know last time when we spoke, you just acquired Cyrex. And how's that acquisition going?
Oh, I mean, Cyrex is a great company. I mean, and of course, we had to wait for the regulatory approval and we just received it. I mean, but that's a great company in the South African market, you know. And we are really excited that Cyrex is now going to be part of the Inc. family. And as you know, Inc. is in more than 8 countries in the continent and another 7 countries where we have partners that work very closely with us. It's one of the great stories, Inc., of a Pan-African business. And we're quite excited about that. You have seen that we acquired Ctrack, one of the very advanced modern tracking business with a lot of data, AI in it. I mean, doing quite, you know, in the automotive space, you know, exceptional things. I mean, that basically was announced. So there is quite a lot of dynamism taking place, I mean, in this fund, and we're really excited. So the team is, this is a team of very experienced and great guys, young, dynamic, you know, and we really salute them, you know, for the work they do in the market. And I take my hat off for them. It's a great place to work. I mean, Convergence. I mean, if you are very talented CA or engineer, I mean, in one of the invested companies, I mean, or having a background in some form of finance and investment. So yeah, we're looking forward to growing and, you know, getting very much into addressing those issues I've talked about of digital divide in the continent and making sure that, you know, we get into 2030 in addressing SDGs, you know, and be on time. That's basically what we are looking at.
It's, you know, it's amazing that in Ngaba, when the chairman of a company has so much faith and trust in young people, I'm hearing you talking about the young energy and just the general culture at Convergence. It's always lovely to hear that. Now, let's go to this matter. We have an energy crisis in South Africa. You know, the economy is not growing as it should. Now, what was the mood among investors in light of these challenges when you were, you know, lobbying for this investment drive?
Look, we as I've said, we are Pan-African, right? We are not just a South African. We invest in over 25 countries across the continent, right? And we solve problems. That's what we are. We solve tech problems. We solve broadband problems. We solve data center problems. We solve network problems of mobile operators. We build fiber in the ocean, satellites. That's what we have done. I mean, so for us, we look at Africa, you know, I mean, as a whole in addressing the issues, I mean, of the continent. They differ in one part of the region and the other, West Africa, East Africa, Central Africa, Southern Africa. So really, we don't isolate one issue. And I mean, we go to rural areas and deploy, you know, wireless connectivity. We build fiber where there was never fiber before. Before, there was never fiber before. We are in DRC, basically. You know, we are in Cote d'Ivoire, right? We are in Liberia. So, I mean, we built fiber in Liberia after, I mean, you remember when there was the health challenges, I mean, the outbreak of Ebola and all of those things. So we go into places where, whether there's post-war environment. So for us, honestly, we invest and build broadband to connect people. It doesn't matter where the market is and the conditions. We understand the continent. So we really don't get into, say, we cannot do this because of this. We really believe that, you know, our role is to solve problems of connectivity, of broadband, of digital infrastructure in Africa. That is the mandate we have. That is the focus we have. And we try to stick to our niche. You know, because one of the things in my entire life I've done, I'm a technologist, I've focused in the tech. I mean, that really our expertise is all about. And that's what we do. And we will continue to do that. And we do that in solving other problems of society, whether in agriculture, right, whether in education, right, whether in energy. I mean, as I've said, that for us, net zero is real. And we are looking at, you know, how our data centers in the future can use, for instance, clean hydrogen, right? How our data centers can, we can immerse servers in water cooling, right? So we look at science of energy in that way, on how we can design, invent new things that are going to change the way the environment is as we deal with it. That's where our angle is in solving, you know, societal challenges, including energy and energy consumption. Remember, I've talked about, you know, all these. So we address those. I mean, for instance, data centers are biggest consumers of energy. How do you solve that? We look at, you know, I mean, what an imagine of blade servers. I mean, as an example, I mean, we look at, you know, I mean, rack design models on how best you can reduce power consumption at that level. And we look at, as I said, fuel cells. I mean, you know, we had a fuel cell technology that we sold to JBL some time back, where we were powering some of the base stations in the most rural of the rural part of the continent. That's our model of solving problems.
Yes, sir. Now, Ndadinkaba, you know, I love what you said in terms of problem solving. And, you know, I think that that is a philosophy that we also believe in at iAfrican. And I'd just like to say, being a Pan-African organization, you know, it also exposes you to some of the, you know, challenges within the broader African continent, whether it's geopolitical, health issues, electricity issues. You know, what were some of the concerns that, you know, investors and maybe also international investors had, you know, in this funding round?
You see, Badong, I mean, here's what I would give any investor, any entrepreneur, any, I mean, person who has business, right? I'm an African. I live in the continent, and I've been in this for technology space now for over 40 years, right? And, you know, in the early 90s, when I would address conferences in Geneva and New York, right, people would say to me, there are more telephones in Manhattan than the rest of the African continent.
Yes.
Think
yes.
about the size of Manhattan versus Africa. That never deterred me. And we continued over the last 30 years to solve Africa's problems of broadband, of connectivity, of digital divide. And we continue in that journey. So I'm an optimist by design, by nature, by outlook. My perspective is about the fact that I have a commitment to address Africa's problems. I do not see them, you know, as challenges that cannot be solved by humans like us, people who have an ability to understand science, finance, technology, and how all these things, investments, can be put together to solve the African, you know, I mean, digital future. I mean, we have done this. The last 30 years, basically, I mean, and we had a SIM card business. We sold over 1 billion SIM cards, right? We built base stations, over 100,000 base stations in the last 20 years or so. And we built hundreds of thousands of kilometers of optic fiber. So really, and were there no challenges over that period? They will always be there. There are challenges everywhere in the world, right? Everywhere in the world. My advice to any entrepreneur, any investor, a challenge or a problem is an opportunity, right? Convert it to an opportunity. That is what we live for. I mean, with the period that we have here, and that's why really we enjoy what we do. We don't get deterred by looking at problems. Any problem for us, we sit around the table, find a solution. I mean, let's say, does this need fiber? Does this need wireless? Does this need satellite? What type of a solution this is going to be? You want to connect a rural school, a rural clinic? How do you deliver equipment? Do you use drones? Do you use trucks? How do you power this? Do you use solar? Do you use fuel cells? You know, so we don't live by life of being dictated by problems. Problems, you know, the concept of technology solution is what really excites us. So, I mean, I don't sit in meetings and with teams, whether I'm in Liberia or Ghana or Uganda or Malawi or Botswana or DRC or South Africa, and say, you know, we are looking at building fiber across the length and breadth of DRC in forests that have never been traveled before. Does this deter us? No, we love it. We enjoy it. It's fun to do these type of things and build this continent of ours.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show.
produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Madon Kotokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.